The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from KHUH LP 104.9 FM Seattle, it is time for The Thunderbolts. You are listening to The Thunderbolt on KHUH LP 104.9 FM Seattle, where we are proud to announce that we will be airing the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth every single week. If you want to know what's really going on, as opposed to what the Wall Street media machine wants you to think is going on, then you're in the right place. You are listening to The Thunderbolt on KHUHLP 104.9 FM, Seattle, Washington. This is the voice of the revolution. Listen at your own risk. Well, hey there. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for July 5th, 2019. I am proud to announce that the news and commentary section for this week's show is being brought to you by the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews. And so the Thunderbolt will return to you in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor. Well, hey, humanity! This is the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews. So tell me, humanity, are you tired of that nasty old machine destroying all life on your planet? Yeah, sure. You really would like to do something about that. But geez, some of those people you've got to work with. For instance, there are assholes and old sexist white guys, as well as passive-aggressive power manipulators with dark, hidden agendas. And I hear they even let right-wingers and homophobes try to save the world these days. And thus the left spends all their time fighting with each other rather than fighting the baby killers. Oh well, huh? I guess we might as well just go vote for Democrats and hope for the best. But wait, what would you say, humanity, if I told you that there is a solution? Yes, humanity. What would you say if I told you that there is a tried and tested method for getting along with other people? Well, I am here to tell you that very thing. For this miracle product is called the concept of accepting a diversity of world views. It's easy. You just need to loosen up a little, open your mind a little, and pull that stick out of your ass. The concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews can be delivered directly to your home, free of charge, and with no obligation. If you choose to keep the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews, it is absolutely free. In addition, we offer a 100% no questions asked money back guarantee, and we offer on-premises financing at 0% APR. So you have no excuse. Take the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews for a test drive today.
Warning, possible side effects can include saving your planet. The concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews is available everywhere that you find humanity. The concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews is fully responsible for the content of this channel.
So I was archiving some old newsletters the other day when I came across an old article about a lengthy email from an anonymous source who provided me with a gratuitous psychological assessment of my personal character. And it was very interesting in a twisty sort of way. In addition to the personal implications contained within this communication, it also touched upon many much larger issues. Because the fact is that a lot of our internecine problems are caused largely by misunderstandings that result from diverse worldviews. And yes, that statement was slyly planted in this week's Thunderbolt by this week's sponsor, the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews as part of a deep, dark plot to prime your mind for the grand finale sales pitch that will be coming later in this week's show. One thing that makes implementing the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews much easier is learning to understand where other people are coming from. And that is why I really think the personal is the political, and why I don't really think that you can separate them. We need to become the world we want to create. And the more we know about each other, and the more understanding there is between us, then the easier that is to do. Therefore, this week I plan to boldly go where most of you have most certainly never gone before. Because I think maybe I can help you understand viewpoints that may be alien to your worldview. For understanding a diversity of worldviews is a vital component to implementing the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews. And thus, you stand duly warned. And so, concerning my gratuitous anonymous psychological analysis, I should probably be honored that someone spent so much time and thought on me, since he brought up a lot of interesting and relevant stuff, and since most of that stuff can be tied into the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews, then when it comes to amateur psychological analysis, I am most happy to return the favor. In addition, I also considered my psychoanalyst's message to be an invitation to engage in a duel of witty repartee. And as you are about to learn, my opponent in this contest, most highly intelligent and highly knowledgeable about many things, yet displays little wisdom and even less humor. And when it comes to wisdom over knowledge, I'll take wisdom any day. And as to humor, I have personally found that when it comes to dealing with the world, you can either laugh about it or you can cry about it. And in my experience, laughing both feels a lot better than crying. And in addition, it will make you much more popular at parties. So some of the points I am about to make will seem like personal gotchas. And while they may seem like that, because that is exactly what they are, I ask you to bear with me through, because even most of the gotchas that I have included all build into a crescendo that all ties into the central theme of the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews in the end. So please be patient. And I would also like to think that I am able to keep you entertained as we get there. But jokes aside, just for a second, don't worry. I am going to do a lot of paraphrasing due to the original correspondence's length and due to its unknown provenance and due to the fact that I really don't like the person who sent it very much and due to the fact that he sent his observations anonymously and due to the fact that he tended to use lots of excess verbiage and due to the fact that my translations are not only shorter than his original rantings are, but they are also much funnier. I believe my summaries convey the spirit, if not the endless details, of the original correspondence. But if anyone really wants to wade through the original and check on the accuracy of my characterization, then I will be happy to forward the links to it upon request. Okay. The serious second is over now. Watch out for jokes. The gentleman started by saying that he didn't really know me and he'd only met me briefly a couple of times, but that I made him uncomfortable, he didn't like me, he didn't trust me, and he questioned my character and my credibility. Evidently basing all of these rather serious charges and allegations upon two brief meetings and upon my writing in my newsletter. Then, in spite of having just acknowledged not knowing me, he launched into a fairly lengthy and detailed psychoanalysis, using words such as dualistic neurosis, to explain to me in exquisite detail exactly why I am such a piece of shite white male sexist pig. In addition, my anonymous critic also informed me that I had no personal character and that I had dark, dangerous, hidden agendas. So hidden that they are hidden even from myself, and that he was now revealing me to myself as a public service so that I may emerge from my old white guy sexist darkness and joyously emerge into the light as a truly enlightened human being. Though he did not really expect that to happen, because us old white guys, sexist pigs, are so firmly set in our ways, and so on and so forth, ad infinitum, etc. Dana is actually pretty aware of his many psychological quirks, including his habit of referring to himself in the third person, and he at least likes to think that he deals with them rather adeptly. Well, I must admit that my anonymous therapist hit a couple of slightly uncomfortable nails right on the head. By the end of his screed, I was thinking that maybe he had stumbled even upon those purely by accident, because so many of his other observations were so off the mark, I began to suspect, at the risk of engaging in amateur psychoanalysis of someone that I do not know, that rather than criticizing me, the anonymous gentleman was instead analyzing himself and then projecting his observations onto me. First, he offended me by challenging my personal honor. Concerning my personal honor, I spent 6 years in prison rather than sell my friends to the feds. And one of many reasons I did that was because my honor is what makes me who I am, and without my honor, I am nothing. So I spent 6 years in hell to earn my badge of honor, and now you are questioning that? And exactly who are you? You refuse to say. You send me your email anonymously through a third party because you say, quote, "It is clear anything but anonymous feedback brings a cruel public slandering via your newsletter. So I remain anonymous to prevent such." Unquote. Well, as for me, I put my name to nearly everything I write. I stand behind everything I say. And in the few instances where I've been proven wrong, I acknowledge such publicly, as I have done many times in the past. You, on the other hand, challenge my honor and my credibility from behind a veil of anonymity. And as far as sending your message anonymously because you fear my slandering of you in my newsletter, how about we do this and I'll grant you a little validation? If you consider me calling you a coward to be slander, then I hereby officially slander you because you send your words anonymously. Oh, how I love irony. And by the way, I normally do not reveal the names of people who ask me not to reveal them anyway. While I regularly blast the machine and its evil minions without mercy, who have I ever slandered in this newsletter? I don't remember ever slandering anyone. Do you consider policy disagreements to be slander? And for the record, from here on out, I will be, quote, criticizing you, unquote, as opposed to slandering you, even if I must do it anonymously. And as for my unsolicited therapist's deep psychiatric insights, one of many he alleged is that I like to move and shake for its own sake. And therefore, I cannot be trusted since I fight for the sake of my own ego rather than for the cause. Well, as far as that goes, first of all, does anyone really know anyone that does not have an ego? If so, I would imagine they resemble a lump of flesh that occasionally eats something. They probably would also sleep, but it would be difficult to differentiate sleep from their normal daily activity. Having an ego is not the problem. The problems come with their size and with their health. They can be too big, or they can be too small, or they can be just right. They can unleash holocausts, and they can write frigging Beethoven's frigging ninth frigging symphony when the frigging owner of that frigging ego was stone frigging deaf. As with so many other human characteristics, ego can be a force for good or a force for not so good. The primary reason that I move and shake is so that my granddaughter will have a planet that is worth living on. Other than that, though, I do indeed absolutely love moving and shaking for its own sake, because it's a blast, and because I'm good at it. And if you are going to feed your ego and pride yourself on being good at something, then I think being good at saving my granddaughter's planet is a rather benign form of that particular psychological derangement. I don't expect to be seeking therapy anytime soon. Then, the guy pissed me off. It seems that my story about Julie dancing with the flowers, i.e. Riders on the Storm, revealed to my anonymous critics, deep-seeing psychological perceptions, the fact that I actually have a dark, hidden, penis-wagging power manipulation agenda going on here, and that I ill-used Julie with ill intent and for ill purpose by writing Riders on the Storm in order to advance my dark agenda. Really? You got all of that from Riders on the Storm? Who'd have thunk? Well, here is my own, quite different opinion of Riders on the Storm, which opinion I think relevant because I was there when I wrote it. Ego alert. Yes, my own opinion is that Riders on the Storm is one of the most beautiful pieces of literary artistry that I have ever managed to summon in a very long career of writing lots and lots of things. And in all of those years of writing all of that stuff, I now consider Riders on the Storm to be my second favorite creation to which I have ever given birth. While technically it was originally written for political purpose, Riders on the Storm was actually a pure art piece. And Rider on the Storm came straight from the most precious parts of my soul. Dead serious now, no joke. Fuck you. Penis wagger alert.
Shut up, little man.
It is rather ironic.
You know how sick you are.
You accuse me.
Isn't that neat?
Of dark hidden agendas in writing Riders on the Storm, not only because it is probably one of the least dark things I've ever written, but also because in that particular case,
you said you would be quiet then do it.
I actually stated very plainly before telling that particular story that I did indeed have a very specific agenda.
I don't care when you
for telling that particular story at that particular time. And that I would reveal said agenda immediately after telling said story, which I did indeed subsequently do. Said agenda was to illustrate how a sexual relationship can produce profound magic.
Do not do that.
And I was presenting this in response to a bunch of flack I was receiving for speaking of sex in what many consider to be a sexist manner.
Think everything's fun, it's not.
Not much hidden there, sorry.
I am the human race, and I will not take it anymore.
I do believe that you are confusing the way my mind works with the way your mind works.
You're such a little fool.
I would suggest to listeners that rather than speculate upon my dark hidden agenda,
you want to stick me with that fork?
In writing a story like Riders on the Storm, you would serve yourself better by speculating upon what kind of person would be disturbed by a story like Riders on the Storm.
Shut up, little man.
What you describe as less than honorable was for me recalling one of my most magical memories. What I consider less than honorable is trying to force other people to view reality through your twisty lens rather than through their own. And we'll be back after a quick station break. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views, and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of KHUH-FM, nor anyone that has anything to do with KHUH-FM. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. All right, welcome to the second half of The Concept of Accepting a Diversity of World Views. And when I look at how much material I still wish to cover, and when I look at how much time I have in which to cover it, then it is already obvious to me that the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews is going to require a third half, which I will be posting on July 19th, and which will air on Chaos and Fro on July 20th. Anyway, for this next segment, I wish to provide an alternative view upon the subject of sexism, and upon the critique that I am, myself, a sexist. Well, it turns out,
are you ready?
That my sesquipedalian friend held that my depictions of a boss and of Julie represented an example of me defining who is and who is not a woman. According to Mr. Anonymous Critic, what I was actually saying, was that if pretty naked girls dance for me in the flowers, then they are women. But that if they were harsh, and or a more masculine type of woman, then they were not really women. He stated that I was, quote, demeaning boss, unquote, by referring to her as a warrior woman. He said, quote, now, instead of calling the woman masculine and militaristic things to discredit them from being a woman, try redefining what it is to be a woman in your brain. Your rant only gave proof that you are a sexist. Yes, the klaxons on my well-tuned irony detectors were blaring red, and red lights were flashing before I even fully understood what he was trying to say. For actually, my anonymous critic was himself the one who was actually defining women and demeaning boss. Yes, Julie was a dainty, delicate female. Boss is a non-dainty, non-delicate female. Both of them are very much women. Yes, dude. I made up the moniker of Boss, and I call her a warrior woman out of respect for her womanhood, not to discredit it. I greatly admire Boss's attributes, both because that is so essentially who she is, and because those attributes are a large part of what makes Boss so effective as an activist. And as far as the world of effective activism is concerned, in fact, when it comes to Boss, then I am the acolyte sitting at the feet of the master. I thought I made all that clear in my depiction, but I guess it wasn't clear to you, since you considered my pan to be demeaning to Boss. Are you saying that rather than celebrating Boss's attributes, as I did, that I should have instead ignored or tried to gloss over such an essential aspect of Boss's character as if it is somehow wrong or embarrassing? To my way of thinking, that is demeaning to Boss, both as a human in general and as a woman in particular. Boss is what Boss is. And I think that what Boss is pretty freaking awesome. If you read that story as demeaning to Boss in any manner, then yes, I would say that of the two of us, me and you, one of us is definitely messed up here. However, your especial wrath was saved for near the end of your critique. I will now quote you. Also, possibly most offensive of all the offensive statements you made in your defense, men who love men do so for the same reasons men love women. And women love women, and women love men. One can make sense of a man loving a man sexually without insisting that their brains are different. Unquote. Really? That was possibly the most offensive thing you found? Dude, I could be a lot more offensive than that, believe me. That's almost insulting. For listeners who may have missed that, I was pushing my women are superior to men shtick, and I mentioned in passing the recently discovered fact that gay men exhibit many of the same differences in brain function and brain physiology as women do. And therefore, that according to my theory, that means that gay men are possibly also superior to other men. I think part of the problem here is that I'm not even really clear about what he found offensive. Was his problem with the fact itself, or with my mentioning of the fact. It also really isn't all that clear how my mentioning a fact about the differences in the sexes in a conversation about differences in the sexes relates to my being a sexist either. But whatever. Anyway, it's time to tie all of this psychological stuff into the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews. And as for this latest contribution to the Dana is a sexist bandwagon, well, duh. Does anyone really know anyone who isn't? A lot of people don't seem to get it, that all kinds of sexual type stuff is hardwired into your base brain while you're still a little kid. And by the time you're in your 60s like me, a lot of it is pretty much set in concrete. Evidently, most gay people know that they are gay before puberty. I clearly remember always preferring the company of women and girls to that of men and boys before I even knew that sex existed. And you kids these days may have trouble believing this, but during this quaint period of American history wherein I spent my happy childhood, they were mostly successful at keeping the very existence of sex itself a complete secret from preteen children. Check out an old 60s sitcom called Leave It to Beaver sometime. I lived that sitcom. That is where I grew up. I was the Beaver. Probably quite different than the world you grew up in, eh? And growing up in a different world is likely to give you a different world view, right? So do you want alternate world views? Do you want some truly dark psychological insights? While I cite scientific discoveries that back up my women are superior theories, this is indeed one area in which I also have a psychological stake, because I'll tell you what, kids, I feel that the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews is so important that for your enlightenment, I am willing to slake your furious dark psychological curiosities and provide some really choice fodder for all of you armchair psychologists out there. Yes, kids, I'm gonna rip it all off and expose myself to you for the cause. And no, I didn't mean it that way. You're the one with your dirty mind here. But seriously, I implore you now to sacrifice for the noble cause of promoting the concept of accepting a diversity of worldviews. For you see, in order to understand this particular worldview, you must first embark upon a dangerous journey of exploration deep into the dark, twisted mystery of Dana's disturbed old white guy sexist mind. Be strong, kids. You can handle it. It's for the cause. However, as I warned you at the beginning of this segment, I don't have enough time this week to cover all of that. Therefore, if you wish to embark upon this dark and dangerous path into my mind, you will need to tune in again 2 weeks from today. How's that for a cliffhanger? For now, though, it's time to get to work. All right. That's it for the news and commentary section. For Seattle listeners, we have some music from their Symphony of Science album. This is Melody Sheep.
We're all connected to each other biologically, to the earth chemically, to the rest of the universe atomically.
I think nature's imagination is so much greater than man's. He's never gonna let us relax.
We live in an in-between universe where things change all right, but according to patterns, rules, or as we call them, laws of nature.
I'm just a dot standing on a planet. Really, I'm just a speck. I'm just a speck compared with a star. The planet is just another speck. To think about all of this, to think about the vast emptiness of space.
There's billions and billions of stars, billions and billions of specks.
The beauty of a living thing is not the atoms that go into it, but the way those atoms are put together. Cosmos is also within us. We're made of star stuff. We are away from the cosmos to know itself.
Across the sea of space, the stars are others. We've traveled this way before, and there is much to be learned.
We're all connected to each other biologically, to the earth chemically, to the rest of the universe atomic.
I find it elevating and exhilarating to discover that we live in a universe which permits the evolution of molecular machines as intricate and subtle as we.
I know that the molecules in my body are traceable to phenomena in the cosmos. That makes me want to grab people in the street and say, have you heard this?
The beauty of a living thing is not the atoms that go into it, but the way those atoms are put together. The cosmos is also within us. We're made of star stuff. We are away from the cosmos to know itself.
There's this tremendous mass of waves all over in space, which is the light bouncing around the room, going from one thing to the other. And it's all really there, really, really there. But you gotta stop and think about it, about the complexity to really get the pleasure. It's all really there, really, really there. The inconceivable nature of nature. To think about all of this, to think about the vast emptiness of space.
There's billions and billions of stars, billions and billions of specks.
The beauty of a living thing is not the atoms that go into it, but the way those atoms are put together. The cosmos is also within us. We're made of star stuff. We are away from the cosmos. And know itself.
Across the sea of space, the stars are others, and we have traveled this way before, and there is much to be learned.
Where someone once felt, thought, and loved. For centuries, scientists have been battling to understand what this unappealing object is all about.
Here is this mass of jelly you can hold in the palm of your hand, and it can contemplate the vastness of interstellar space.
The brain has evolved from the inside out. Its structure reflects all the stages through which it has passed.
Information in the form of energy streams in simultaneously through all of our sensory systems. In the form of energy, all our sensory systems. And then it explodes into this enormous collage of what this present moment looks like, what it feels like, and what it sounds like.
Rather gruesome, wrinkles like a walnut, and with the consistency of mushrooms, like a walnut.
What we know is encoded in cells called neurons, and there are something like 100 trillion neural connections. This intricate and marvelous network of neurons has been called an enchanted loom. An enchanted loom. The neurons store sounds to and snatches of music. Whole orchestras play inside our heads. 20 million volumes worth of information is inside the heads of every one of us. The brain is a very big place. It's a very small space.
Information in the form of energy streams in simultaneously through all of our sensory systems. In the form of energy. And then it explodes into this enormous collage of what this present moment looks like, what it feels like, and what it sounds like.
No longer at the mercy of the reptile brain, we can change ourselves. Think of the possibilities.
Think of your brain as a newspaper. Think of all the information it can store. But it doesn't take up too much room, because it's full.
Think of all the information it can store.
We see with the eyes, but we see with the brain as well. And seeing with the brain is often called imagination.
The brain can contemplate the vast range.
The brain has evolved in successive stages.
It is the most mysterious part of the human body, and yet it dominates the way we live our adult lives. It is the brain.
We are part of this universe. We are in this universe. The universe is in us. Yes, the universe is in us. We are part of this universe. We are in this universe. The universe itself exists within us. We are part of this universe. We are in this universe. The universe is in us. Yes, the universe is in us.
Every atom in your body came from a star that exploded. You are all stardust. You are all stardust. From a star that exploded.
Look up at the night sky. We are part of it. The universe itself exists within us.
We are
stardust in the highest exalted way, called by the universe, reaching out to the universe. We are stardust in the highest exalted way, reaching out to the universe with these methods and tools of science.
Stand in the middle and enjoy everything both ways. The tininess of us, the enormity of the universe.
The atoms that make up the human body are traceable to the crucible that cooked light elements into heavy elements. These stars went unstable in their later years, and then exploded, scattering their enriched guts across the galaxy. Look up at the night sky. We are part of it. The universe itself exists within us. We are stardust in the highest exalted way, called by the universe, reaching out to the universe. We are stardust in the highest exalted way, reaching out to the universe with these methods and tools of science. We are stardust in the highest exalted way, in the highest reaching out. The universe itself exists within us.
We Are Stardust. Before that was Ode to the Brain. Started off with We Are All Connected. All those tunes from Melody Sheep out of Bellingham, Washington. And that's it for the Thunderbolt this week. We'll see you next week. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt. Nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com. And we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And a quick note here. The Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes. Or you can go to radioforall.net. That's radio4all.net. Where you can also find the show notes, as well as a year's worth of downloadable episodes of the Thunderbolt.
Thank you very much.